Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Mike Shope.
Look at the buttercream on that cake.
And the bulldog.
Yeah, when the kids were little, we just like to go in the lake. Natural selection. You come back great.
On WGR.
Look at that fondant.
Sports Radio 550.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening. Mike Shope and the Bulldog. I'm at our home office here. Wait, I don't know if that's confusing. Maybe that's confusing. I'm at the office. I'm at the studio again. And yep. Bulldog joins in from his attic. Right? Have you named it yet?
No. No.
Just the attic?
The attic, yeah. I mean, it's a little, that's maybe a little presumptuous. It's the attic. Amongst attics, it's the attic. But I don't know. That's just how we vote. Hey, you want to come over and hang out in the attic? So I don't have a name for it.
But it does have an identity.
It definitely has an identity.
When you say the attic to people that know you, and that would even maybe include some listeners, like that just know you through us, they would know what the attic is.
Yeah, and if nothing else here in the last couple of weeks, maybe folks who haven't been following along over the years when I get I get pretty far in on a Friday or a Saturday night playing records and taking pictures up here, I've been trying to post more video from up here and even pictures from up here, just to sort of bring everybody into where, at least where I'm working from. So maybe more people than ever have an idea of what it means when I or you just refer to the attic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't envision for this kind of thing. I always the one thing that comes to mind, like, does it have a name? There's a house on the road heading up to the cottage in Ridgeway that we pass that has the person, I assume it's a guy, but it doesn't have to be, has a garage, and there's sliding glass doors on the garage, and he has a big sign on top of the garage that says the Garage Mahal.
Yes.
Right. And I appreciate it. I think it's kind of funny, but it's also pretty cheesy. So what am I gonna hang as you come up the stairs here? Like, welcome to the guitar lair or something. I just have no idea what to do.
Yeah, I don't know whether I can't really laugh at this. I mean, I've had names for my last two houses. So and now I have a sign in my house that says this house's name. So I can't exactly just laugh at the idea. But
are you at liberty to divulge?
It's the land of Shopes and Dreams. Sure. No,
the land of Shopes and Dreams. Right. Yeah. Well, that works. Yeah, that works.
So I can't make fun of naming your stuff. I mean,
kind of cheesy, but it works. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's supposed to be just funny. Not.
Yeah, right.
Walking around telling people that that's where I live or that that's the name I be. Hey, you guys want to hear about how I name my house? No, it's not like that. It's just sort of, We have a little sign that my wife got me for Christmas that's made out of steel, like just a nice little piece of art.
Yeah,
so,
cool.
That's good.
All right. How are you holding up, man? How's everything today?
Okay. two things. One is that we legitimately had, it won't seem like a long time, but it was about a minute long argument about what day of the week it is. My son was like, it's Wednesday, right? And my wife's like, no, yes, wait, Tuesday. And they kind of went back and forth for a few seconds on whether it was Tuesday or Wednesday. And then I just had to let it, I didn't need to intervene. I just wanted to hear how it played out. I was just in the next room. And then she eventually said, no, wait, Thursday. Oh, this is crazy. I can't even tell you what day of the week it is. So that happened.
I'm relieved to have you confirm for me that it's Thursday. Yep. Like I was pretty sure all day that it was Thursday, but just now when you said your son and wife were discussing whether it was Tuesday or Wednesday, I thought it was Thursday.
They totally didn't know. One thing I brought up late last week was like, so the idea of the weekend is different now, because the weekend is when you're all home together. There's no school and there's no work and you hang out together. And now that's like every day. Yeah. So, you know, Fridays are great for looking forward to the weekend. And I don't know, like that's different now. Not necessarily better. So they had a little thing about what day it was. They eventually got it. And they also took the step of meeting up with other friends of ours.
Okay.
And we tried that last week, but it was going to have to be outside, and it was just not the right day for it. So as far as I know now, they're all like walking together. You know, I'm sure they're keeping their distance. Hopefully the kids can remember to do that. It's got to be weird for them. It's weird for everybody, but it wouldn't be something that they would like instinctively know to do.
Right.
But I'm willing to do a couple things, you know. I'm all for stay home. I'm all for the social distancing and all the smart advice. These family friends want to walk on West River Parkway together and enjoy the day and ride their bikes and these things. And we can keep our distance just like other people who are walking the parkway are doing. Just, you know, these are going to be friends of ours. So I thought it was worth a shot.
Yeah, you should be able to pull that off. I think I mentioned yesterday that I went to the park. I didn't make it over there today, but there were groups of people walking, and they were far apart from one another. You know, like they appear to be, to me, in fact, I even recognized a couple of the groups as people who regularly I used to see all the time when I would be in there every day running, that walk every day, a loop or two, whatever, 2 miles, 4 miles. And they are, you know, they're spaced apart. And, you know, there was this, the littlest dilemma. There's only so much room on that road. And if you get like a group of four people walking towards you, they're walking, say, clockwise, just going counterclockwise. Getting through there was a little like, okay, who's going to make the gap? You know, like, what are we doing here? Because, you know, it kind of defeats the whole purpose if they're safely far apart, but I just come crashing in between them 2 feet from on either side.
Everybody's so, on eggshells, so you don't even know how to do. Like, the simplest little social interactions are just like, now everybody's hesitating, rightly. Everybody's hesitating. Yeah. Everybody's just like, you know, everything's a little different. So, you know, that's the least of our concerns.
We got done last night, and I needed to run the equipment that I'm using over to Jeremy's house. He lives like about a mile from me. And so I decided to do that, and I thought, well, I'm doing that. I'm going out. We need a couple things, you know. So, you know, we're low on milk. We need some toilet paper, whatever. Like, okay, I'm going to go to Dash's. I need some fruit, just a couple things. I'll just get in and out. And it was not super crowded, but even with that said, like, everyone was sort of looking at one another. I know one guy at least did the same thing with me that I did with him earlier, which is sort of you send somebody like walking past you and they are looking at what you're getting, but they're waiting for you to get done. So like I'm reaching into the cooler to grab 3 gallons of milk, and I can see like in my peripheral vision this guy walking past. He doesn't want to stop, but he's looking like, okay, that guy's almost done. I'm just going to turn around, and I walk away, and I could see him then walk up to the cooler and get the milk. You know, like that's a totally different thing than, you know, normally you would just reach over someone like, give me my milk. Like I just say, I don't have time to wait for you. Or open the cooler door right next to you. But instead, it was just all spacing. And, it was, it's a very different scene.
Not all of it is bad. I mean, these kinds of ones are almost a little silly, and they're fine. They're not good or bad. They're just fine. But not all that kind of thing is bad. I mean, some of the new habits, just, you know, washing hands, certain things like that, we'll have better habits in some ways. I think I'm seeing a lot more people. You know, there would be more people walking back and forth in front of my house than on a regular, Thursday, because, you know, people aren't working and they're not at school and not the obvious reasons. But, I mean, I think there's just more of an exercise vibe. And it's spring. It's also like the time of year. If January 1st is not the number one day for starting a workout regimen, you know, spring when you can be outside and not just sort of, I mean, not many people have a treadmill at home or that, for that matter, a gym membership. You know, you can sort of just do it like that. So, I mean, I think that there's like a little bit, this is an opportunity. We're making that point all the time here. One thing about all this and sports, so, I mean, everything is stopped, as we know. And really, that's almost everywhere in the world. I read at ESPN that ESPN had a sport-by-sport breakdown a couple of days ago of what's been stopped and rescheduled. And they did say there that the Belarus Premier Soccer League is still playing. So if you need it that badly, and if there's any way to get the Belarus Premier Soccer League, apparently that league is still going. But just about everything else is stopped. And, you know, as far as we're concerned, we've had plenty of football news in the last couple of weeks. We had Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay. We had the Bills trade for Stephon Diggs. We had a dozen or more other notable NFL free agent moves. The draft is less than a month away, and that will take place. So, you know, that's pretty much what we would normally be talking about if we were all like living like we used to. Like, it wouldn't be that different. And here we just have hockey games that you might even say would get in the way of those conversations, considering what, you know, late season games have been like for the Sabres.
Yeah, I mentioned yesterday that I think like a couple of weeks ago, someone, a Facebook friend of mine, asked that question. Like, what are, and it wasn't directed at us or even the station. It was just a general, like, what is sports radio going to be? And I told this friend of mine, I think I said this yesterday, like, we'd be talking about the draft and free agency, and that's all coming anyway. And with the way hockey had been going, it would just sort of force us away from football when we might rather be talking about football the majority of the time. So instead of having hockey games interrupting us, and I know that's a, I don't mean to be insensitive putting it that way. I know people are missing the games, and I know people who are involved are missing the income and all that. So I don't mean to just you know,
that I'll agree with
so casually. But like, for, you know, for us, for what we do, yeah, okay, no hockey, fine. I've got the draft, and I've got free agency, and I've got over-under totals, and yeah, Tom Brady is in Tampa, and like, that feels like, even if everything were going full steam ahead, we still would want to be devoting a lot of time to just contemplating Tom Brady playing for Tampa.
And the whole New England transition, and you know what? It's not just right now, it's all spring and summer. I mean, this show every year in the spring and summer, apart from the Sabres and the NHL playoffs, is pretty much, you know, sports-wise at least, this.
Yep.
And this is going to be the best year for that in a long time, because right now the Bills are almost a co-favorite to win the AFC East, which has not happened in maybe the whole 20 years. I don't know. Like, it's just, obviously, it's different. And, you know, I think, you know, most people are not thinking about sports as much as they normally would. And that goes without saying. But at what point, if we're still in this state where we're working from home or we're not working, the place we worked at is closed and we're just kind of hoping to get through until it's open again, you know, this reality, as far as the Bills and the NFL go, at what point, if it's not back rolling again, do you start to worry about the football season? Like, if it is, say, June 1st, and you're still in your attic, and I'm maybe in my attic if I have one. I mean, I'm, who knows? Like, they might let have us both work remotely at some point. Mm-hmm. If it's June 1st, is it to the point, if, you know, it's not so, I'm not ignoring the real life aspects of that, but just as far as the Bills and the NFL season goes, would you, you know, a lot, what you would hear a lot is, of course, from Bills fans. You would just hear like, of course, this year, why didn't you take one of those other years and just, you know, mess with the whole offseason and the whole season? But, you know, this year, Bills fans are going to really want to see the season happen in full. And, you know, at a certain point, if we're not kind of fixed here, then we may worry. We would worry.
Yeah, I think so. I you know, for now, like contemplating that for, honestly, the first time. I shouldn't say that. I mean, I have seen it referenced, and I've had the same thought each time, which is basically, I'm not sure I'm ready to contemplate that far off things won't be normal enough for it to sort of come together and happen. And look, that doesn't have to be. I'm not telling anyone how to deal with it. And by saying that, I'm not at all predicting. Like, I have some. It would blow my mind if the. I guess it's sort of. Let me say it this way. I'm struggling here, but I guess what I'm getting at is I kind of need to know that that's out there and is in sort of like a plastic bubble. Like, it's safe, you know? And
the season.
Hopefully, yeah, the football season, right, that will whatever has to happen between now and then, even if our summer is completely just foreign to us, that September normalcy, school years for kids and everything, like, we'll sort of just sort of get up and running. And I guess I have a hard time contemplating the possibility of that not existing. Like, that is the kind of thing that I, not to be irresponsible, but just sort of need to just put over there and go, okay, I'm not prepared to deal with that right now. I'm not ready to contemplate September still being, is there toilet paper? You know, can I pick up apples in the store, or is that rude? You know, like, what are we doing here? I have a hard time with the magnitude of that timeline.
Well, it could be close. I mean, we don't know the timeline, of course. No one really knows that. Most of the predictions I've read would not jeopardize, like, the NFL schedule. But, you know, the life will be different. And that can, of course, mean economically. We talked yesterday, the day before, about just willingness to join crowds. You know, people might have a different attitude about that because the whole thing won't be over by then. But maybe we're at a point by then where we have enough ability to manage the situation, you know, in terms of hospitals and care and maybe even, I don't know about vaccines, but, you know, tests and certain, we can get to a point where, by then, I'm not speaking as an expert, just like anybody else who's read what I've read. But, and I want to think that that will happen. It's just like, it could be close. And we're talking about hockey as, what do they do about the rest of the season? What will they do about the playoffs? And, you know, if we get to the middle of July or even like the beginning of July, and we're not really sure what is all going on yet, then, you know, we'll start to hear about what football is going to do. Plus, you know what else? Like, let's just stop with that and talk like it will be back on time. There will be so many other sports happening that are pushed back. Like, the Kentucky Derby is September 5th.
Right.
You know, the right. First Saturday in May this year is in September.
Yeah.
The Kentucky Derby. The French Open. Tennis is pushed back. Everything is pushed back. The French Open starts September 20th. I read that, you know, golf tournaments and whether they have the PGA or not. And like, what else? Maybe we even have hockey playoffs when there are NFL preseason games played when they were originally scheduled in August. We could end up with NHL games on those nights, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's
going to
be
could.
So incredible, incredibly different.
It will. I mean, my overriding thought, and we're going to talk to Greg Wyshynski, ESPN.com, longtime Yahoo Puck Daddy, coming up here in a few minutes. And he wrote today about how he feels like the NHL should just cancel and, like, stop, you know, and he'll lay out why and all that. And, you know, and also understanding why they're not. And it's something we talked about a lot yesterday, which is the money, you know, that is the league is maybe as cash starved as any major pro sports league in North America. So my thought is, like, all that French Open, Kentucky Derby, anything, nothing against, like, those events, probably somewhere, somehow, like, they're important. on the sports calendar for where they are and what they represent. We're talking about a major tennis tournament, the Triple Crown. But it's the reason I have those events is the money. The establishments that put those on, the sponsors, the owners of them need the money for the event for this year. And I get that. But to me, ideally, everything that has not been completed would just be – we're done. We're going to start new next year, and that'll be normal. All right? So football, sorry, you're the king already, but you get first crack at this. And I don't need hockey and basketball and tennis tournaments and what – like, in September, I need the U.S. Open. Like, that's the tennis tournament I want to watch in September, right? That's what's going on when football starts up is the U.S. Open, not the French Open. So I'm sorry you lost your turn. Like, that sucks, but I don't need to crowd the calendar with all this stuff. I'd rather just have hit stop, not pause, stop. We're done. Whenever we can pick up, we pick up where we are. And if it's July and we can play half a baseball season, okay, great. But don't try to cram 140 games in between now and Christmas or some crap. You know, like, I don't want to hear that. Just do what you can do. And if we're out of your season calendar, then we are. And you start up when your new season comes along. And I think that's... it's really naive and idealistic, I think, but that's the way I feel like it should work, but I'm almost positive it won't.
Yeah, the right point, the big point is that the money factors are going to be the most important, but I totally agree with that. You're going to have the Masters in September, hopefully, and then again in April. Like, I don't know. I can wait. Right. I mean, I don't need the Masters. I totally agree with that. As a fan, not blind to the motives of the people involved, like, just okay, we'll miss it, you know, and it goes down in history as the year because of coronavirus that it wasn't played. And as far as the hockey playoffs, same thing, you know, that's not the end of the world, it's not the end of the league. You just now, again, like, we'll talk to Greg, and it has been a topic on this show for a few days, is hockey acts like it's desperate, you know, relatively speaking. So I want to know from him as we get to a break here, and we'll talk to him, just how valid that is, because it sounds like from what he's written that he sort of feels the same way we do about what the signs look like.
Yeah, and look, I want to say again here, like, all of that, like, that's a large sweeping commentary, and a lot of smaller businesses would be affected by all that, you know, and I recognize that, and I'm not sure that I have a way to really rectify that and make it work. That's why I said it's naive and probably, you know, just not very realistic. There are, you know, we think of it as the billionaires and the millionaires, you know, the owners and the players and all that, but, you know, we know there are lots of trickle downs there that, you know, probably would hear somebody in his attic in Buffalo say, I don't need the French Open to be played in September. And there's somebody that makes crepes on a sidewalk going, I kind of need the French Open, buddy. Shut up. You know,
that's by the way, that is my mom's business.
Sidewalk.
I don't know how you didn't know that she makes French Open crepes. She goes over there for those 2 weeks. And that's like half of her income. But I won't, you know. Yeah, if somebody takes that personally, you're here to defend yourself against that. And if you need me to help, I'd be happy to. All right, we'll take a timeout. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN.com. And also soon, Dan Leberfeld talking Jets and AFC East. Stay with us. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The commissioner did tell teams we're willing to listen to ideas. I think he's even said it to media. I think he's made it very clear that if you have a creative idea that you're thinking about for the playoffs, please submit it. And I believe people had. And as Craig Custance reported yesterday, I believe there is a team that has submitted a proposal. Instead of a lottery, you have a tournament for it.
Elliot Friedman on WGR earlier today. It's ideas time. What can we do with what time we'll have when we get to a point where we can get back on our feet here? All sports, really. I mean, or many. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Bulldog is, again, broadcasting from his house, which, you know, seems pretty cool. Seems like a cool place. You got a beer fridge. You've got guitars everywhere. What more could you want? That fuzzy chair seems great.
I am not sitting in the fuzzy chair. I thought I was going to be, but I'm not. But yeah, the fuzzy chair is it's there. Yep.
Joining us now on the Wester Hotline is Greg Wyshynski from ESPN.com. Greg, how are you?
Man, I'm trying to stay away from that beer fridge is what I'm trying to do. But
yeah,
pretty good, all things considered.
It is tempting to start earlier. I'll just say that. I don't know if you guys want to comment, yeah. But it is tempting.
Well, I mean, where I'm sitting, I'm looking out the windows to the front of my house, and the beer fridge is kind of right in my field of vision. So it's it's ever present, Greg, and stocked.
Hey,
so,
we all cope how we cope, you know. No judgment.
Right.
Good. Right. Greg, just if you would you tell us how you're doing, like, you know, in maybe a personal sense here during this? I mean, I know you're in the Bay Area where maybe things were kind of ahead of the rest of the country. How are you holding up?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I feel like we are about maybe a week and a half or 2 weeks ahead of a lot of places in the U.S., just insofar as the shelter-in-place rules and the bans on mass gatherings. Hell, I think it was probably about 3 weeks ago that toilet paper started disappearing from the stores here. So it's been interesting to see how other communities have dealt with it. And in particular, I lived in Manhattan for a good 6 years. And to kind of hear from friends back east and how things are going in the city is sort of jarring in comparison to, you know, living out here just outside of San Jose, where, you know, there's a bit more open space and we're getting some hikes in and, you know, you can run on the trail and stuff. And
right.
I got friends back in New York that are wondering exactly when, you know, they can get to the supermarket. So it's a scary time, you know, for a lot of folks, even for us that have been sort of in it for a little bit longer than others.
Greg, how much can you tell us? Not that I want you to speak like an expert on the matter or anything, but like we're hearing here in Buffalo a lot of reports via Twitter, mostly from doctors, nurses, just medical professionals in New York that seem like they're starting to get really, really taxed and it's getting kind of scary. Do you have any idea what it's been like out there where, like Mike said at the outset here, you guys were, you know, a week or 10 days ahead of us and maybe even ahead of New York City. So, like, what's the state of things on that front as far as you know?
Yeah, I mean, the volume of things is pretty big and you know, the hospitals are packed. I don't think they're packed to the point of being overwhelmed, but it's obviously been a situation here in Santa Clara County where we had a real large number of cases. I think we were leading the country for a while, which is why the county put in the measures that they did to ban mass gatherings, and then eventually everybody stays home. But, you know, the things that we've seen here, I think, are more of the incremental moves to, you know, keep the social distancing in place. For example, you know, that they are allowing us to, you know, go take your dog to the beach or go on a hike. Problem is that when you get, you know, the totality of San Francisco all going to Marin County at the same time to go on the hiking trails, well, then you're kind of defeating the purpose of trying to do the social distancing thing. So they've every weekend it seems like there's a new restriction put in place, a new bit of education. I'll say here on a micro level, I was living the high life because the hotel, the apartment that I live in hadn't closed its gym, for a long time. Every other gym, you know, every gym class, spin cycle class, all that stuff have been canceled and closed. And meanwhile, I've got this like secret gym in my apartment, but then they just put the kibosh on that the other day. So I'm gonna gain about 300 pounds now, I'm pretty sure, in the next few months.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the challenges. One of the challenges here is, you know, just trying to stay healthy. Greg Wyshynski with us here on WGR. So to the NHL, we were talking for quite a bit of time yesterday about how it, you know, if they're postponing the draft, Greg, which is at the end of June, that's a pretty good sign, I think, that they intend, like, they're driven to get the season going again. Like, they might not be thinking about, you know, just bagging it to the extent that maybe the NBA would, for example. And your column today sort of reflects that point of view, and you go as far as to say that they should cancel the regular season now and that it's a fantasy to think that they will get those games in. Tell us how you feel.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's going to be such limited runway for them to get in the playoffs as it is, versus trying to handle the logistics of scheduling 31 different arenas and having teams play a few games to even out the number of games they play. Like, who in their right mind in Detroit is going to spend money to go to a Red Wings game of the last four home games they have left? Nobody is. It's going to be embarrassingly empty arenas for these regular season games. But on top of that, as I spell out in the column on ESPN today, there are real reasons why you should do this right now. And one of them is the fact that you have teams like the Sabres and like the Boston Bruins that have said that we are not going to compensate our game night and part-time staff as we've promised to do, as long as the games aren't canceled. So if you cancel those games, now you're putting money in people's hands. You have all the teams and the third-party ticket sellers like StubHub and SeatGeek who are saying, we are not going to tender refunds for these games until they're officially canceled. Well, cancel the games, and then you can put some money in the hands of people that could probably use it right now. So there are practical reasons now why they should cancel the regular season, and then there are, you know, more kind of forward-thinking reasons, which is that by the time we get this thing up and running, maybe even in, you know, July or August, we're just not going to have enough room or logistics to get these regular season games in. So expand the playoffs if you need to, but cancel the regular season now.
Have you gotten any feedback from anyone within the league about that notion? Like, are people, like, I don't know, managers, you know, or just team personnel that you know, texting you and saying, like, you're on glue? Like, what has this piece been met with, Greg? Because, I mean, it makes a lot of sense to me reading it, but, you know, I'm also, you know, being a billionaire is a very foreign concept to me. So, like, how's it going over?
There's two ways that I think that in the case of feedback on the column, you get a lot of sort of no one knows nothing. No one knows if we're going to have time. It's the great unknown. My opinion is as good as anybody else's opinion as far as what they should be doing right now. But I can tell you that I talked to a few GMs this week, and when I brought up the subject of this piece that I was going to write, and they kind of indicated, yeah, you know, we're on the understanding that not going to time to get the regular season in. It is sort of a pipe dream to believe that we can get it done. I do think they hold out hope that things might turn in a positive way quicker than expected if everybody is following the distancing, if we get more testing and that sort of thing. So they're still holding out hope that they can get regular season games in, because you are talking about maybe $100 million on the line if you don't finish the regular season, on top of a conservative estimate of $250 million on the line if you don't play the playoffs. So it's a lot at stake here, and I think these guys want to play. But in the quiet moments and in these conversations I've had with both GMs and players, I think there is a general sense of, yeah, it's going to be really tough to finish out the regular season, and, you know, on top of what I talked about today with regard to the fans.
Yeah, and that's really – the money is where I want to go next year. So it does – you know, it's kind of always been true. When we think about the NHL, here in Buffalo especially, we've had – bankruptcy, and we've had, you know, not being able to spend like other teams has kind of been the whole a story for the Sabres forever. So how valid are any sort of concerns about what this money is worth to the future of the league? Like, if you crunch numbers on, say, it all has to be canceled, Greg, I mean, the escrow and the salary cap in the future, do you know how different it might become?
Well, when it comes to the salary cap, the players and the owners can figure out something. They can come up with some number where teams aren't going to have to completely gut themselves to get under the cap next year. There is linkage between the revenues that are brought in and what the cap ends up being. But you can kind of play around with those numbers, I think, and collectively bargain a cap number that's not going to make teams have to, you know, expunge half their roster to get under the cap. Now, the interesting thing you mentioned is escrow, and that's really where things get scary for the players. It's a 50-50 split of revenue. The players are going to get all of their paychecks for the regular season. They're getting paid throughout the, you know, their last three paychecks they were owed when the season went on pause, and getting all of those, which is great news for them, but maybe not so much when it's a 50-50 split in revenue. And at the end of the year, the owners tabulate how much they made. They look at how much they paid the players, and the players give back a certain rate to even out the split. Well, the split is going to have to be evened out next year, the year after that, the year after that, because there's going to be such a huge disparity between the amount of money they've brought in and what the players have made, if in fact they have to cancel the rest of the season. That's the real fear right now on the player side, is how much are the owners going to claw back from us in the next couple of years to make up for the shortfall.
Right, and really making things even maybe more complicated, or maybe it's a good thing that they're trying to figure out where they're going to go with the CBA eventually, too. Like, I don't know if it were setting stone. Go ahead.
Right, yeah, I mean, I think all in flux. I think, you know, there is obviously a CBA to negotiate on the side as well, but, you know, it speaks to the desire of everybody to get back on the ice and if not make the kind of money they'd make in a postseason without all of this going on, at least put a tourniquet on the bleeding a little bit, you know, as far as the league's revenues. I think there's a genuine concern that if they do come back and the arenas are open for fans to return, what's that look like? I mean, there's millions upon millions of people that have now been forced into unemployment. What is the disposable income for anybody in August going to look like? On top of the fact that, as everybody on, you know, listening knows, it's hard enough to get people interested in watching hockey in June and May.
Right.
And now you're going to have a situation where you might play in August people are going to be able to do things they've not been allowed to do for 4 months. You think one of those things is going to a hockey game? it's going to be a pretty daunting task for them to try to make up a chunk of this revenue, even if they play the playoffs.
Yeah, it's just all so different and new. So do you have, like, we're all guessing and have no idea exactly when life will return to normal, if, you know, that's the right way to put it. So let's, you know, maybe it's June or something where we can talk about rescheduling sports, just hypothetically. What is the best idea for the NHL? You want to get the regular season, you want to just put that down now? Okay. So would you have the 16 teams in playoff spots have a tournament? Would you shorten series? Would you make sure to allow a certain amount of time, like how much time for the offseason, right? The draft and free agency and everything else. What sounds good to you?
Yeah, I think the draft is an interesting part of this, where you're probably going to end up having to do it maybe in a single hotel like they used to do back in the 1970s, or maybe even do it virtually like the WNBA has announced it's going to do. But as far as the postseason format goes, look, if you cancel the rest of the regular season like I think that you should, it's only logical that you're going to expand the playoff pool to include teams that are right around the bubble. Now, some of the players want that to be 24 teams. I think that's a bit much, even though it would sneak in Montreal and Chicago to help juice your revenue. I think 20 teams is around what the number should be. You can do play-in games for the 7, 8, 9, and 10 seeds if you want, or you can structure it any way you want to. But I think a 20-team field, and then, you know what, like I said, it's going to be hard to get people really juiced up to watch hockey when it comes to it being August or whatever. So get weird. I mean, do whatever you want with this postseason tournament as a one-season anomaly. It's all going to be asterisks and caveats anyway because of how weird the season is. Just do something different. You know, run them 1 through 20 or something and do a league-wide tournament. Who knows? But I think that's the pool I'd be looking at, is about 20 teams. Anything above that, it kind of gets a little more ridiculous.
Bulldog, I guess we're left out anyway then. if it's 20, or even right, if it's 24. 20, we still don't have
24,
it.
24, right. The only hope is if you play enough games to get them even with Montreal, they could catch or pass Montreal. But, again, I don't really see how to accommodate that at this point.
Montreal is point a game, and Buffalo is 68 points and 69. Who knew the last game? I can't even tell you what it was. Who knew the last game was so important? But, you know, maybe it, right. would, it will be.
Okay. Hey, Greg, in the scenario you're describing there where there's no regular season and, you know, playoff pool of 20 teams, let's just say that works, what about the 11 teams that aren't in as far as revenue goes? Like, what kind of – would they get a taste of what – I mean, I recognize that the revenue is revenue and that as it pertains to the salary cap and the escrow and all that, like on a larger scale, that is beneficial to the whole league, but – 11 teams won't have any opportunity to get gates or host any games, and I would imagine those teams would be bitching loud at meetings.
Yeah, and you know, the NHL in the past has had some remedies for that with regard to revenue sharing and things of that nature. But, I mean, in totality, we're talking about maybe, you know, 4 to 6 home games left mm-hmm. for a lot of these teams, which is a good chunk of change. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's a huge, you know, percentage of their home games this season. But, you know, for the most part, these teams weren't going to be making any playoff money anyway. So, you know, listen, everybody's going to take a huge financial hit, some teams worse than others. I'm sure the NHL is going to have to step in and help out some teams if they need it. But the one thing that we know for sure from the league right now is they want to do everything they can to protect the integrity of next season. And that's really important because you are talking about, you know, 41 home dates next season for these teams at a time when fans are going to maybe feel more comfortable both financially and from a social distancing standpoint to come back and fill these arenas. So they want to finish the season. They want to, you know, make as much money as they can. They want to award the Stanley Cup in an equitable way. But for more than anything, I think they want to make sure that the 2020-21 season isn't impacted by anything they do this year.
Boy, I 100% think that should be the biggest focus. Like, I recognize the financial realities of a league that is so gate-driven like the NHL is without the big lucrative TV packages that other sports have. But, yeah, making sure the next season goes normally, doesn't, like, start in November and still cram 82 games in or something, I think that should be the thing that takes precedence.
That would be so hockey, though, wouldn't it? Yeah. Like, that would be so hockey to do that.
I mean, it would, but the one thing that they keep on saying is that very thing. Like, even if they have to start next season a little bit late, they do want to play 82. They don't want to have to reduce that season at all. And you know, when they get laser focused in on something like that, I think that you can believe them when they say it. And that's why I think, you know, there is going to be a certain point when they're going to say either we don't have enough runway to play this season or we do. But I think we're really far off from that. I mean, the next time they have to address anything is when the 2-week CDC recommended time for quarantine and stuff is over, which I think is going to bring us to maybe around early May, and then they'll figure out something from there. But it's a day-by-day process. Things change every day, and right now I think the focus for the league is on, you know, the staffing and salary of some of these team employees, as we've seen some teams making some pretty deep cuts. You know, who's paying who's paying what money's coming in, and that kind of thing is where their focus is right now.
Well, I hear you on that point about from before about Detroit, like who's going to want to go. I feel like the way the Sabres are, they're going to want the 6 games worth of money that I, as a season ticket holder, have already given them. They're going to want to not have to give me that money back. You said the Sabres and the Bruins, as far as their employees go. I think that's the whole list of teams that have put this particular condition on paying their employees, right, Greg? I mean,
they're the ones that specifically said it. There are some teams that have been a little vague about what the conditions are for people to get money. But I just think that, you know, if you take away the games, you just take away that excuse straight off the table and go from there.
Right. By the way, as a fan, so here we've got the Sabres are, this is a good idea, maybe an easy one, but a good one. They're putting on games from their past. Every night on MSG, there's been an old game, and next week will be the same thing, and maybe there'll be a lot more. Does that work for you? Like, do you like watching old games back? Is that something, as a hockey guy, you would do for fun?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, depending on the game, I mean, I'm a Devils fan, so I was just talking to my dad the other night about the fact that I've seen most of their Stanley Cup games over and over again because we used to have them on VHS tapes. But you go back to the first year they made the playoffs in 1988 when they beat Chicago in overtime in the last yes. game of the season to make the playoffs the first time. Like, I'd love to see that game again. So there's definitely some nostalgic games I'd like to see. But on ESPN, you know, we've got rights to about 50 games from this season. And Emily Kaplan and I this week actually started a little viewer's guide. And what we're doing is we're kind of breaking down some interesting games into bite-sized pieces, telling you what parts you need to tune in for, telling you when the goals are, telling you for stuff to watch. So we did the Vegas-St. Louis game right after Jay Bouwmeester had that health crisis. Where they mm-hmm. actually had a 6-5 game earlier this year in Vegas. And I think the next one we're doing is a Capitals-Penguins game. So the response has been good. I mean, people definitely have an appetite to just watch some hockey, even if it's a game that is recent, even if it's a game they might have seen before. And I'll say this about ESPN. You know, we do have the rights to a number of games back in the day when we had the broadcasting rights. So I've been talking to some people internally. I know there's a real good chance some of those games are going to end up on ESPN Plus, so you can hear the dulcet tones of Gary Thorne mm-hmm. Calling hockey again on those classic games when we get them up and running.
'90s.
I'm 100% here for. Isn't there? There's Penguins Flyers epic overtime. Peter Nedved. Am I? Primo. What am I thinking of? Are those two? Those are two different games.
Two different games. Yes.
Right. I want to see both of them.
Oh yeah, there's a ton of interesting stuff, and you know the one I'm pushing for, and I don't know if it's going to happen because there's probably a ton of different rights to clear, but even those World Cup of Hockey games that we had a few years back with that Team North America, the kids team, mm-hmm. where it was like McKinnon and Matthews and all those guys, we put that on the air. That was an ESPN property, so there's a chance we might be able to dig up those games, and if we do, I'd be the happiest boy in all the land, because I haven't seen those games since I covered the World Cup, and I think there's a huge appetite for hockey fans to watch those games again.
I like it. Ralph Kruger, Team Europe, I think
Team
it was
Europe.
Called, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Yeah, or Team Kopitar, because they had to find a way to get Anze Kopitar in the World Cup. They just invented something.
Yes. I know that Devils Blackhawks game. That was, I think, Sports Channel, maybe.
Yep.
And that might have been that might have been Gary Thorne, too.
Yeah, he was the Devils broadcaster at the time. The Devils, John McClain,
yep.
not to be confused with Die Hard, had the game-winning goal against Darren Pang. And the best thing about it as a kid, I was 11 at the time, the best thing about it was not only did the Devils make the playoffs for the first time in their history, they hopped over the Rangers for the final spot in the Pacific Division to get there, which, of course, is like the most important thing in the world when you're 11 years old living in New Jersey.
Yes. Is that Shoney yet, or is that a different coach?
No, that was Shoney, because that playoff run was pretty remarkable. It was two extraordinarily bloody series against the Islanders and the Capitals. They actually won both. They made the conference finals. They lost to the Bruins, and that was the series, as
yes.
many of our older listeners will remember, the series with the have another donut, you fat pig thing with Koharski, where the referees refused to work the next game. And it's one of the most memorable moments of the last, like, 35 years, and that was the same playoff run for the Devils.
That's right, 88. Very good. Greg, pleasure to talk to you, as always. Be well.
You got it, boys. Thanks.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, at Wyshynski, Wyshynski.
My phone, for the first time today, when I asked you and Sneaky Joe about the idea of getting Greg on, knew how to spell it.
All right.
Like I got like W-Y-S into my phone, and it went right for Wyshynski. I'm like, okay, this is nice.
You can pretty much just type that in the search window, and it's going to tell you, it's going to do the rest for you.
Right.
All right, Dan Leberfeld, Jets Confidential, coming up to football soon here on WGR.
All right, we'll be continuing like that in a moment. Let me first right now tell you a little bit about Mr. Lawn Care. Snow's gone, hopefully for good. Time to start loving up your lawn. You're tired of trying to make your lawn look green and weed-free, and it never seems to work. Well, my advice is to call Mr. Lawn Care. They're locally owned experts in this field, and have them restore your lawn to become lush, green, weed-free, and healthy. Stop doing it yourself. Let the lawn care specialists at Mr. Lawn Care make you and your lawn look fantastic this year. Mr. Lawn Care's got a great offer for you right now to get you started. If you invest in 4 lawn treatments, they'll give you another one for free. That's right. Buy 4 lawn care treatments. Get one more for free only at Mr. Lawn Care. Stop trying to do it yourself. Like I say, tying up precious time on weekends. I mean, I know we've got maybe more time on our hands than ever, but this is it's a losing proposition. At least it always has been for me. Maybe I'm just bad at it. I don't know. But every time I've tried to fertilize my lawn myself, I still end up with weeds. And even worse, I don't spread the fertilizer evenly, so I get, like, dead spots because I killed my grass. You know, Mr. Lawn Care is going to do the opposite of that. They're going to help your lawn flourish and look great. Again, buy 4, get one more free. That's the offer to ask them about right now. Restrictions apply. You can Google or Facebook Mr. Lawn Care to find out more. Or just call them up, 683-LAWN. That's 683-LAWN for Mr. Lawn Care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.